So, of course, count on the media. Not that we're the media in the grand scheme of the word, but count on the media to overlook Kansas State. They are finally favored in a game. They're favored by 10 points against Kansas, and they destroy Kansas. Kansas didn't belong on the same field. What do you mean they're only a 10-point favorite against Kansas? It was completely ridiculous. This team is undefeated. They finally got into the top 10 in the BCS. They're now at number 8. And needless to say, if they beat Oklahoma, how many of these teams do they jump? Who do they jump? Clemson, Stanford, Boise State. Where do they get into that conversation? And Oklahoma, of course, coming off of this huge loss. When you go to your locker room and you say, hey, guys, you know, I mean, I know we were talking national championship. I know things were looking pretty good there. I know we were thinking Oklahoma State at the end of the year. We need to go out there. We need to beat these Wildcats. We need to keep our Big 12 title hopes alive.
Great speech. the issue is that Bob Stoops, who I'll just talk very briefly about, Skip Bayless is a personality on ESPN that a lot of people know about because this guy has been accused and often does just stir the pot. Some people think it's for ratings, whatever it is, but he's very close to the Oklahoma program, grew up an Oklahoma fan, etc. And he came out pretty strongly this week with a fire Bob Stoops at Oklahoma slogan.
Now, hearing the speech you just heard me give, right, do you think I could get that job?
I think that based on what Skip Bayless said, he'd hire you in a second. Because he called Bob Stoops the best recruiter in the country and the worst motivator in the country. And he took the last 10 years and really dove in deep. Now, I'm not going to even approach touching the idea of firing Bob Stoops at Oklahoma. But what his conviction was all about is the idea that Bob Stoops takes teams that should win national championships and finds ways to lose them in different areas.
Couldn't you have said the same thing about Pete Carroll?
Definitely. In fact, that's the comparison.
Did he make that comparison?
It's a longer tenured version of Pete Carroll. Now, I would say that the comparison he was really getting at, he didn't make this one either, but it almost sounded like what he was saying is that he's a rich man's version of Frank Beamer. That instead of getting you 10 or 11 wins every year and a BCS Orange Bowl berth every year, that he gets you 12 and maybe a national championship appearance and then a loss, or a Big 12 title game win and then a Fiesta Bowl loss to West Virginia. You know, you can go down the list and you can see where Skip Bayless is coming from if you believe that the expectation
level... Hey, they handled their business in that Connecticut game last year, right. Okay, buddy? You watch it.
If you believe what ESPN believes, which is they did a best program of all time, top 25 list a couple years ago, I think, and Oklahoma ranked number one, the number one football program of all time, the most consistent program in the history of college football. If you believe that's true, then maybe Skip Bayless has a point. Maybe 10 years, 11 years since they've won their last national title is not good enough. But Bob Stoops, as a coach and what he's done and his track record, maybe he doesn't motivate his team. Maybe they weren't ready to practice and prepare for Texas Tech. But it's hard to argue that he needs to be let go at this point.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you can certainly argue bringing in a new coach to get you to the next level. Yeah. But the next level is perfection.
Right.
I mean, that's the only place you can go.
Like you said, the frustration with Pete Carroll. Yeah, it was frustration. But would you, in your right mind, want to fire him if he was in the heyday? And
no, that's what I'm saying. Everybody loved Pete Carroll. Right. Or certainly everybody at USC did. Everybody outside of USC hated Pete Carroll because he was a perennial winner. So, yeah, Skip Bayless, I hate Skip Bayless with a passion, which is what he wants me to do, you know, but of course I don't actually watch his show, but he's not the only one talking about that because, you know, at the end of the day, I've always said this about coaches, you know, when you look at a team on paper, you look at what they are, and if on the field they play better, that's a testament to good coaching, and if on the field they play worse, that's a testament to bad coaching. Well, when you're on paper, you're supposed to be perfect. Doesn't leave a whole lot of room for error, but by the logic I've always held coaches to, maybe it is bad coaching. I don't know.
It's really tricky because I think you run a huge risk if you fire Kyle.
The question is, I would ask Skip Bayless, okay, you want to fire Bob Stoops, that's fine. Who are you going to bring in that's going to give you the championship every other year that you're looking for? Who is that guy?
Yeah, his argument was, somebody said Les Miles, and he said, I'd trade places with and get Les Miles in a heartbeat. Fine, but I think you really underestimate what a guy like Bob Stoops brings to the table in comparison to Les Miles, even with Les Miles doing what he's doing.
Les Miles has a couple of tough losses under his belt, too. Yeah, so and some that's an interesting. Yeah, but
I will say this, getting back to Kansas State.
Yeah, let's talk about this game. Hey, look what we did. I said that we overlook them, and then we say, hey, look, they're playing Oklahoma. Let's talk about Oklahoma. Forget Kansas State. This team, what are they going to have to do? And now if they beat Oklahoma, everybody will say, oh, well, Texas Tech did too. Let's just talk about someone else.
Yeah, no, they can't buy a break. You know, here's what I'll say about Kansas State.
All right.
If you're a Wildcat fan, this is the best year I can remember in a while to be in the Big 12. Because if you believe in your team and they go undefeated, I'm going to be on board as saying put them in the national championship because they got to go through Oklahoma State.
Yeah,
Oklahoma.
We said that last week. Yeah. Why on earth don't they have the same right that Oklahoma State and Oklahoma did that if they won out in the Big 12 that they got to go? Why wouldn't they?
You've been disrespected the entire season, but you're in the right conference. I mean, maybe if you were in the SEC, it'd be better, but this is the second best conference to be in.
And this next month of football, there's nothing left to disrespect if they did find a way to win through it.
We know they've beaten Baylor. We know they've beaten Miami. We know they've beaten Texas Tech. But this is a whole nother monster that they're about to play, and an angry monster at that. So will Kansas State be able to, at home, get the crowd continued? You know, that crowd has been electric for them recently. But will they be able to take an entirely different philosophy offensively than what Texas Tech has? I don't even know if watching the game film is going to help Kansas State at all. You want to watch it, but there's no Seth Dagey throwing for 440 yards and four touchdowns for them.
No, that's my note on this game. Kansas State simply doesn't pass the ball well enough.
Right.
And they do an excellent job of running the football, but they haven't played a defense like Oklahoma's yet. And from an X's and O's perspective, I have a ton of respect for Kansas State. And I think they're going to beat one of these big teams. I'm not sure which one it's going to be. Maybe it'll be Texas A&M. I could see them beating Oklahoma State, you know, because that team doesn't have a great defense. I could see them running the offense they like to run against a team like Oklahoma State. Against Oklahoma, I don't see it. But you have one of two things here in Oklahoma. You have an angry monster or a depressed monster. And that's the question. Because, like I said, a Big 12 title, and then we go to the Fiesta Bowl.
Yeah, but the amazing thing is he does it every year. Like, historic, you would think they would give up on the season, but every year they lose a stupid game.
Right.
So, and then they just go on to the Fiesta Bowl and have a great time
in
Arizona.
Right. So historically, there's no reason to believe that all of a sudden they're just going to fall apart.
Right.
And I don't think they will, but
It's one of those games where Colin Klein, you know, he's done a great job managing what Kansas State likes to do. And I really like Bill Snyder. He's one of my favorite
coaches.
He's
amazing.
I mean, he's done nothing but great things with a program that it's in Manhattan, Kansas. It's a nice program, but he is really the reason that anybody has heard of K-State. And Colin Klein, he's a decent passer, great rusher, 14 rushing touchdowns, but it plays right into the strength, like you said, right into the teeth of the Oklahoma defense, who is pretty stout against the run. I just don't know if what they do matchup-wise is going to have any chance this week.
I'd give this one a 1 on a neutral field.
I'll give it a 2.
I give it a 3 simply because, like I said, history tells us that Oklahoma just keeps on rolling, but there's something magical about this Kansas State team, and I know that sounds lame, but it's just been the case this year. They've won most of their games in outright upset fashion this year, and they're at home, and that place is going to be buzzing, and, you know, I'll tell you why I give it a 3, because I would have given Texas Tech a -1. So, obviously Oklahoma can be beat, so.
No, they can. And you know, the truth is, I mean, if Oklahoma plays the way, at least on defense, that they did last week, even against the run, or if they play the way on offense at times with Landry Jones out of sync. Now, he still had a great game statistically, but Landry Jones missed a lot of throws. Kansas State has played some strong defense. They're solid against the run. run. They've been decent against the pass. I mean, you want to make a case that they play so hard that they play above their personnel level, but if the personnel takes over, even on the road, Oklahoma's just going to get back to doing what they did.
Yeah, three is just being generous. I just felt bad that we weren't giving them much respect. So,
yeah.
But hey, if they win this game, we'll find room for them in the next podcast. Oh, yeah. Promise. No takesy-backsies on that one. So, you know, another game that, you know, another same spread, actually. Kansas State is a 14-point underdog at home. Oklahoma State is a 14-point favorite at home against Baylor.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is a team that Oklahoma State has had a ton of success against in recent years. And yeah, I don't love trends in college football because teams change so much, but they're 9-1 in their last 10 games against Baylor. And they have five straight wins against Baylor with point discrepancies of 27 points or more. So Baylor hasn't kept it within four touchdowns in the last 5 years. But that's then. Now is Robert Griffin III. Is there any chance that Robert Griffin III I'm going to make Texas Tech a verb. Is there any chance that Robert Griffin III techs Oklahoma State this week?
Well, I will say that he has shown the ability to throw the ball deep, which, you know, that's the amazing thing about Robert Griffin III's stats, is that he doesn't just throw those dink-dunk passes that get your completion percentage into the 70 range for so many guys. He actually goes deep and is willing to take shots and has been so accurate throughout the season. There's no simple way around the fact that Baylor's going to have to outscore Oklahoma State, because if you look at these two defenses, and you and I have talked at length about the Oklahoma State defense, we didn't like it coming into the season, and there's actually a reason we didn't like it, and it's proven statistically to be that, because Oklahoma State is 103rd nationally in total defense, but the thing we didn't maybe expect is they lead the country in turnover margin, so they're the most bend-but-don't-break defense I've ever seen, really.
Crazy.
They do is give up yards and then take the ball away.
Yeah.
And then they give it to their offense, and when you give it to that offense, it's a nightmare. And I think Baylor does have the ability to protect the ball better than Oklahoma State has seen to this point, even though they've played some good offenses. Robert Griffin has turned it over, but not nearly to the degree that some of these other teams have. And I think he's capable of protecting it, but they're going to have to go score for score, and it's going to have to get into, I honestly, like the 50s for them to have a chance. Can they do it? Can they win a 52-50 game? I think maybe they can, but I'm not sold on this one. You know, Oklahoma State, as far as motivation, this is the highest ranked team that will be playing this weekend, and that's never happened in the history of Oklahoma State. They've never taken the field in a weekend of college football and been the highest ranked team to play, and that's because the two SEC teams have the bye, but the stakes are so incredibly high for this team, and they are rolling, and with those turnovers, if they get them, I just feel like Oklahoma State's going to have the answer.
Yeah, I mean, as do I, obviously, but you know, that could have a negative effect, too. I mean, having that much pressure on you, you know, Oklahoma State wasn't really flying under the radar, per se. They're certainly one of the nation's top teams, but with Oklahoma being the team in Oklahoma, they were always just kind of, you know, hey, we'll get them at the end of the year, we'll prove it on the football field. Yeah. Now, all of a sudden, they're the team to beat. And they're going to go into that game, and they very well might be favored now, because, you know, they're the team now, so it is going to be interesting to see how they handle it. They probably will survive Baylor this week. And, you know, the thing is, as bad as Oklahoma State's defense has been, not only turnovers, but they do just come up with a timely stop here and there. It is a very strange dynamic. But, you know, you talk about how Robert Griffin turns the ball over, you know, it's generally with fumbles because he doesn't throw interceptions, and Oklahoma State's not great at getting pressure on the quarterback by any stretch. So, I mean, if you give this guy time,
he's not going to turn it over. Like, the guy, he's thrown two picks. The guy doesn't turn the ball over. It's one of those things where that's your saving grace if you're a Baylor fan.
I'll give this one a Robert Griffin III. I'll give it a three.
I'll give it a look into the future, Robert Griffin IV.
Okay, so yeah. I mean, you know, like you say, it's gonna have to be one of those crazy offenses offensive games, and it very well could be. It should be a blast. I mean, so, you know, that's the thing. Like you could say all you want about good games, but when you just talk about fun games to watch, Baylor, Oklahoma State, and Stanford, USC should just be fun games to watch this week.
Yeah, no doubt.
And then you know, we have to talk about it, even though they're not in this conversation because they both have a loss. But Michigan State and Nebraska are playing for the controlling stake of the Big Ten Legends division. Man. And Michigan State, what a story. They're just world beaters.
And the thing with this game, and I think Bo Pelini is hoping that this plays out, I don't know if it will, but if Mark D'Antonio was willing to call the Michigan win a program win, like a season almost, a season win, then you get what happened last week, and then you're in complete euphoria, the entire fan base on cloud nine. Is there a chance that 2 weeks in a row of some of the best wins in the last 10 years for your program, that you're so high that you hit a really big wall in Nebraska this week?
1,000,000% yes. Yeah. I'm 100% convinced Nebraska's going to win this game. I think Michigan State's the better team. I hate Nebraska's defense. Mm-hmm. They had a good game against Minnesota. Hooray. I mean, Minnesota is terrible, but I don't like Nebraska's defense. But you hit it on the head. Can you imagine what it feels like to be a Michigan State Spartan right now for what you've accomplished over the last few weeks? I mean, to just be a kid on that campus right now. I mean, cloud nine, this team is incredible, and they deserve all the hype and all the adoration that they've received. How do you do it three straight weeks? I mean, you have to be inhuman. And now on the road, you know, to have this euphoria and then a Hail Mary play, and the building is going to explode in East Lansing, you know, and now you're on the road and you're getting booed and it's like, what's going on? I mean, just the emotions, I couldn't pretend to know what it would be like, and I just, it plays right into Nebraska's hands.
And the thing, and Nebraska is looking, and they're thinking, Michigan State probably thinks that they're not only in control of the Legends division, but the Big Ten in general with that win. What they don't realize is, and Nebraska knows this, we can take control of that division this week. And if Michigan State doesn't understand what kind of environment they're going into, they're going to lose control and not even get close to that title game because of this. So you're right. I mean, if you look at it, Michigan State's got a great rush defense, statistically the second best in the country.
And that's what Nebraska needs to do.
But they gave up 220 yards on the ground against Wisconsin, so they started to show it last week. And, you know, with what Nebraska likes to do with Rex Burkhead and Taylor Martinez running the ball, I think they looked at that game film and they were like, we're going to catch these guys sleeping and we're going to run it right down their throat. So I'm kind of with you. I'm leaning towards this being a Nebraska win, much less an upset, you know?
And, you know, I'm actually kind of rooting for Michigan State because, first of all, if they won those three straight games, I mean, I want to start putting them in this conversation for the national title, even though I know we're not going to put them in there over an undefeated Stanford or something. But, man, oh, man, with those three games. But more the bigger reason, if they win the Legends and Wisconsin goes on to win the Leaders and we could see a rematch of that in the back Big Ten title, that would be incredible. So just as a fan of college football, I'm rooting for Michigan State. But I think Nebraska wins here. And then, Nebraska goes and probably gets beat by 30 again to Wisconsin.
Most likely, yeah.
So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, no, I mean, they get some players back. William Golston comes back, so you hope maybe that helps. But Michigan State's got their work cut out for them.